Welcome back to the Brave Her podcast. I am so excited for my guest expert on the podcast today. I am interviewing my new friend, Dr. Yolanda Kirkham, who is an amazing clinician. She's an obstetrician gynecologist. She's a surgeon. She's an entrepreneur and a health advocate for women, those who menstruate, and new parents. And we connected, I think, originally over a Facebook group for physicians, and we were talking about women's health, and she reached out to talk about an amazing project that she's the chief medical officer for, which is called Cobalt Cares, and we're going to talk about that today as well. Yolanda is an assistant professor at the University of Toronto. She's a media health expert and has been featured on the Marilyn Dennis Show a number of times, and she loves delivering babies, operating, and appearing in media. And also values her roles as daughter, mother, and wife. So Dr. Kirkham, thank you so much for joining me here on the Brave Her podcast.
Thanks so much, Carly. Really excited to be on your show.
And we wanted to chat a little bit today about you, of course, and I wanted to feature how amazing you are and everything that you're doing. But we also wanted to talk about, you know, health information and misinformation, because I suspect, I mean, as a family doctor, I certainly run into that in the office a lot. People like looking things up online and not knowing enough about their health or not getting accurate information. I suspect as an obstetrician gynecologist, you get that quite a bit as well. So I guess to get started first, Yolanda, why don't you just tell me a little bit about, you know, where you came from, how you got to doing what you're doing, and a little bit just about yourself. That would be really wonderful.
Sure. I mean, where I came from, I guess we'll go back to the birds and the bees as an OBGYN, but I was just thinking about this the other day and how I, you know, was raised by a single mom and she's an immigrant too. And actually, like, I think that shaped me a lot and just showed me how strong a woman can be and how brave she was to actually come to a new country. I could never ever imagine myself doing that. But I always was interested in women's health, and in the 10th grade when I learned about reproduction, like all of that was really interesting to me. And even in medical school, when I was having a hard time deciding what I wanted to do because everything was so interesting, I just reflected on my extracurricular activities, and they were all around women's health. And then I was so completely surprised by how much I loved surgery on my plastic surgery rotation. And so that's how I went on to do OBGYN.
Amazing.
And I always, yeah, it's pretty, you know, I think a lot of people feel they have a calling. I'm not sure if I had that exactly, but I just think it was like a great role that just marries a lot of what I'm interested in, and most importantly, just being able to talk to people and feeling very privileged when they share their stories with me and what they've been through. You know, we as doctors, we get to hear people's life stories and to help them, and I think that's something we shouldn't forget about how important our role is.
I agree. And I think that just being able to hear those stories and then, you know, in confidential ways or, you know, share those stories, that's a big piece of my mission too, is that if we can connect women together and hear from other women about what they're experiencing, it helps us all feel better, right? Like that experience of, I think I'm alone, I'm the only one that feels this way. And then when you talk to another woman and learn, oh my God, I'm not alone, that can be so healing. But I agree with you, the value of like the honor of being witness to other women's lives and other people's lives in general, and hearing their stories is really an amazing piece of our job that we have. So I love that. What's your favorite part? I'm curious, what's your favorite part of being an obstetrician gynecologist? Like if you could say, this is my favorite part of my clinical day or my surgical day, like what do you really love?
It's really rewarding to me when they, you know, when we connect on a follow-up and like something they've been struggling with for so long and that they didn't get help for has been treated. So whether it's lichen sclerosis, vulva lichen sclerosis, where they've had this itch for a decade and has just been treated as a yeast infection. Meanwhile, it's the skin condition that can be easily treated with steroids, or they haven't felt like they've been heard about their painful periods and it's endometriosis, and then they find the right medication for them, and they say they didn't know they could live a life like this with no pain. Like that to me is so rewarding. And I think the part about obstetrics and the pregnancy and birth journey too is that, you know, right now there's a lot of misinformation, and I think the whole romanticization of birth and making it, you know, seem like it will be amazing, which it is. But I mean, having the wrong expectations and just helping them to realize what you were saying, which is, you know, we all go through these difficult things, and being flexible and being able to, you know, come to terms with the possibility that things might not go exactly as planned. I think preparing women and their families for that is something I find really rewarding. And what you said earlier about just connecting with them and telling them that this is really common, like sex pain, or, you know, that it's really common to feel let down if you end up not with the vaginal birth you wanted. Like I think these are really important for people to hear.
I love that so much. And I completely agree with you. I think on the motherhood and the pregnancy and all that, that point you just made is so, so true. And I see that a lot, obviously, in the family doctor's office as well, is just there is this big, like, oh, you're gonna have your baby, your birth's gonna be perfect, right? Exactly how you plan it to be. And of course, that is possible for some people, but a lot of the times it's not exactly what you expected. And I often share with my patients, you know, I don't do deliveries anymore, but when I used to do more deliveries, I would just say, you know, this is an experience theoretically on your first try that you've never ever done before. And it's really hard to anticipate what it's going to feel like or what it's going to be like. And we kind of have to go in with a really open mind, you know, about what that's going to be like. Because I know in the mental health world, for sure, that experience of birth and how that goes in the early postpartum days can really impact our mental health as women. And of course, that's where, you know, I came into the work that I do now, is just like what you just said, is I don't feel like I was really adequately prepared through no one's fault. You know, I wasn't really adequately prepared for what I was going to experience. And it's very overwhelming to become a new mom. So I just love that you have that perspective about, you know, making sure that women are getting access to accurate information, because that is a huge challenge. There's just, like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of mom chat groups, which are not always inaccurate, but it's mixed, and it might not apply to your situation specifically. And so that kind of segues nicely into the company that you're working for, and you're the medical director of, which is Cobal. And I would love for you to talk to us about and tell the listeners about what that is and how valuable that is for them.
So I had exactly what you had, and, you know, it's where all the expectations of being a new parent kind of didn't match with what I expected. And I think that's where the downfall comes and where people struggle with. And I felt like there was, and there still is, a huge gap in that postpartum space where, you know, everything was focused on your pregnancy and your birth. And then you need all of these resources afterwards, which unfortunately our public health system doesn't really provide, or it depends on you having benefits to be able to access. So things like a lactation consultant, a psychotherapist, a pelvic floor physiotherapist for all of the urinary and bladder issues that people experience after. So I was able to work with our CEO and come up with an app, and we have an amazing team behind us as well, to bring all of those experts that are really crucial and supportive. And they present 10 to 15 minute live video sessions where you can log into this little class. And you have the benefit of an expert sharing their experiences and some tips. And it's individualized to follow you along your pregnancy and your post-birth journey. And then it remains like an on-demand video library, where you can then also continue to follow along different experts and just watch it in your own time. I think with the pandemic, that's where we found out, you know, having remote access to resources, regardless of time and regardless of geography, is so important. And so hopefully this will be a great resource for not just the new moms, but also their partners, whether they're dads or another mom, and even grandparents and other support people.
I love it. And I mean, that's a big reason you, of course, but also Cobal, I really wanted to get you talking on the podcast about it, because I know so many of my listeners are moms or new moms or expectant moms. And this is a resource that wasn't available when I had my kids and wasn't available when you had yours. But if it's available now, it's so important that more parents know about it. I love too, that it's not just for, you know, the birthing person, it's also for their partner as well. Because there is so much, like, parenting, pregnancy, delivery, it's all all a learning curve that's super steep. And until you, you know, experience it, you don't really know what you're going to be going through. And so to have, I love it. It's like an on-demand Netflix, which I don't know about you, but when I was postpartum, I was like on Netflix. My husband and I were up doing, you know, night feedings with our twins, and like, we would be watching, you know, Netflix already. So yeah, what better than to have something, right, that you can actually watch that's like going to help you with your anxiety about what you're doing and feeding and how you're, you know, sleeping and all those sorts of things. Like, what better could you find for new parents? I just love it. It's amazing. Yeah. And it's available to everyone, right? It's on the App Store and as well as for Google. Is that true for Android devices?
Yeah, exactly. And there's a 2-week free trial and then it's subscription based. But when you compare it to the cost of like one pelvic physio session in person, or even some of these online prenatal courses, like it's very, you know, I think very accessible for many people. The other thing is we have a gift of knowledge program too. So it would be a great gift for, let's say, bridal shower, or it's not bridal showers, but like baby showers, or even for, you know, your new friend or family member who doesn't live near you and you want to support them, because it's like a year support or more, and it just offers you like bite-sized information. You know, you can do it when you're breastfeeding. It's 10-15 minutes, and or you can listen to it as a podcast. A lot of our users have said that that's really helpful for them too, and then just pre-birth as well, just watching it together with your partner as a course, and setting a time to do that on a regular basis really helps too.
I love the gift option, because I know we get overwhelmed with, you know, a new pregnancy and a new baby. Like, I know that people love to buy baby things. But as a mom who went through, like, you know, a postpartum experience, I'm always looking for like, what will actually help, right? Like, I don't want to go and buy them like 17 swaddle blankets. Like, that's not ultimately going to, like, they're lovely and they're adorable and they're soft and cute, but they're not ultimately really going to make the experience easier. So I really love that you can offer it as a gift. I'm already thinking of somebody who I could probably do that for. Like, what a special offering, right? From a parent or something that really wants you to feel supported. That's like incredible. I love that you guys have done that.
Yeah. And it was so really cool. It was really important for me that everything was evidence-based and experience-based on the app, because you can sometimes go to the other chats and blogs online, but you don't, you know, sometimes it's the experience of one person, whereas when we have an expert who's a physiotherapist or a naturopathic doctor or one of our chiropractors that is also trained extensively, is that they have also the experience of all their patients and their clients, and they're able to share that information with you. And I think that's the real benefit, is that you don't have to go through another hour or two looking all over online, and you have our trustworthy experts here to provide that information.
Is there any option for like asking questions? Like, could patients, if they were, or people, if they were watching, you know, a video, is there anything that's live that they can actually interact with the experts and get answers to their questions? Obviously it's not a medical platform, like you can't get a consult, but like, is there anything where they could get answers to their specific questions?
Yes. So all of the all of the live sessions, that's where you have the ability to chat in your question. And the beauty is too, you know, as a disheveled mom, you know, I didn't want anybody to see me. So you're not seen when you're in the app. You're listening, but you can chat in anonymously or with your name, any questions, and you're watching that expert. So you have that anonymity. You can do it anywhere and you can do it anytime. So that's where you can get your answers.
Mm-hmm. I think that the virtual health in general, whether it's like care like I provided you, Noya, or this amazing platform, I think the virtual modality is going to be just revolutionary for women specifically, because of how hard it is with our other roles when we are like new moms, or, you know, like you and I, you're a busy mom, you have run a, you know, you have a big career and you do lots of different things. Same here, I'm running businesses, like we're doing all these different things, that to be able to actually go and have multiple appointments a week to get the support we need is really not really practical or possible. And so, you know, I think the fact that it's all virtual and accessible was a big piece of why I started Unoya. Is like, I want to be able to have women see a therapist in their living room or in their car, you know, because that's the only quiet place they can find, or on their lunch break at work. Whereas I was, you know, when I went through my experience, I had to drive like an hour and 20 minutes to the nearest city to see a therapist who could help me with my mental health. And I had, you know, two brand new babies, but I couldn't really do that. So these offerings that you're a part of, I'm creating, right, are so, so valuable. And I'd really encourage anybody listening to check out Cobalt, because it's really going to be helpful for you. And yeah, I agree. I think it's very accessible. I just looked at, like, there's an annual plan, and I'd certainly want to spend $200 giving somebody this for an entire year than, you know, like buying them something that they'll use for 3 months and then stop using, which is what a lot of the baby things are and are lovely, but, you know, it's a really right. good idea.
Yeah. I know we spend so much time, and I think this is partly where a lot of the, like, postpartum anxiety and OCD comes from, is, you know, you spend so much time looking at reviews and, oh, which one is the best baby toothbrush? And, you know, a lot of these things are also transient. You use them for such a short time, and sometimes by the time you've researched it 2 weeks later, your baby doesn't need it. So yeah, I think I like to be optimistic, and if anything has come out of this horrible pandemic, it really is that it's helped medicine speed up the use of virtual tools and save people productivity. Like, I've always had a difficult time reconciling people traveling 1 or 2 hours to come see a doctor, and that's very valuable, but that's their whole day and the drive back and missing work. So I think these virtual options now are great, and I certainly hope the government values that and will continue to supplement that.
I love that. So we talked about Cobalt and what you're doing. We talked a bit about what practice you have. Now let's talk about your life. So you're also a mom. So tell us about your family and talk to us about your experiences of, like, balancing all of this. Because I, like you, I'm a busy mom with lots of things, like I mentioned. So talk to me about your experience in that and, you know, work-life balance, say, for you, and what that looks like.
I don't think there is balance, Carly. But,
you know, that's what I was hoping you were going to say.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I'm 15 years doing, you know, my career, and I'm an older mom because I started late, and I'm a doctor. So, and we also live where our parents don't live. So we don't really have much of that village of support. So it's been really difficult. And I'm really honest with my patients to let them know too, that it's a big life change. And I personally didn't really feel like myself again until my son was 3.5. And I think you lose a lot of yourself. Like, I, as a new mom, I had much more doubt than I've ever had. Like, even as a surgeon or a doctor, you know, here you're a new mom and you're like, oh, the baby's crying. Do I let it cry a little bit more, or do I pick it up? Like, little things like that. You know, you doubt yourself, you doubt your ability to feed the baby properly if things aren't going as easily as you expected to with regards to breastfeeding, for example. There's just so many new experiences. I think it's always in terms of, I think it's juggling, really, is knowing too at some point that you need to focus or find value and then decide what you want to focus on. And sometimes something has to give a little bit. But the people around you are still the most important. And so that, you know, making time for your family, I think, is really important, including all the relationships of the people closest to you, because sometimes they're also the people that you get irritated, angry, or short-tempered with, like your partner. Because it's hard also for partners and dads too. And I think that's another group of people we shouldn't forget too.
Absolutely. And I think what's really important about what listeners should hear from this story is that you and I do this for our job. Like, you deliver babies, right? Like, I am a field of practice doctor who works in mental health, and we both struggled postpartum, right? And I think, not to say like we're terrible parents, we're not, but just to normalize that, like, you can even have a ton of experience and training and, like, medical knowledge in the area of pregnancy, motherhood, mental health, and still struggle and have self-doubt. Right. And I just want everyone to hear that, because if they are new moms and they're like, oh my God, I doubt myself all the time, like, hear from Yolanda and I that we did too. You're not alone. Right. Like, and if anything, people often think that, you know, doctors wouldn't have any doubts. We would know exactly what to do. And I know for myself, maybe you as well, but for myself, I think that my knowledge of mental health and mental illness actually prevented me from getting care earlier that I needed, because I felt like I should be able to manage it on my own, or I kind of missed the signs that it was worse than it that I thought, because I was able to, you know, rationalize and use all my quote unquote mental health knowledge and medical knowledge, mm-hmm. but really I probably delayed too long getting the care I needed. Right. Exactly.
Doctors themselves are not very good patients, right?
And no.
Because we know our own areas, but you know, we're just as lost. If, you know, if I had to look, you know, had a heart problem, you know, I'm not a cardiologist. So I think, you know, you can spend hours looking stuff up online or whatnot, but you'll never find the exact answer as when you speak to someone who's an expert in it, right? And they can just tell you in 5 minutes. You know, rather than you looking up everything online and it's cancer or something bad. So I agree with you. Like, we're not very good as doctors in looking after ourselves. And especially even in balancing what we're doing.
Yeah. And so if you are somebody who experiences a lot of doubt, especially in motherhood, or new parenthood, know that you're not alone, because it's very, very normal. And that resources, you know, like what Dr. Kirkham and I provide and through COBLE, and those are really great places to find really validated, accurate information about these things that you shouldn't necessarily know about because you've never done it before, right? Even second and third time months, like, there's going to be experiences that you're going to be like, whoa, what do I do with this, right? Like, that's going to be new to you. Each child is so different. So
yeah, everyone's always very surprised that their second or third pregnancy is completely different, or even in the way the baby kicks, right? Some babies are so much more active than others. And then the birth experience is different too. And that's the thing about the first birth. It's a very long 14 to 20, sometimes more hours process. And so a lot of things can kind of go a little sideways, and, you know, be a little bit derailed. They can sometimes be brought back. And that's where OBGYNs, you know, we try to prevent, you know, some of those things from going sideways. So hopefully people understand that and that we're there to help.
Yeah, this might put you on the spot a little bit, but I'm confident that you'll handle it well. You see so many women who are pregnant, newly pregnant, anticipating their birth and delivery. Like, what are some of the most common misconceptions you hear that you're trying to like disprove, and that if you could say to a larger population that women would feel better about knowing that? Like, is there anything that you're like, oh, a lot of women think this? Like, you just mentioned the length of birth, for example. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I've seen for sure in when I was doing more prenatal care, where women would be like, well, how long does it take? Like 6 hours? I'm like, well, yeah. Not exactly. So like, talk to us maybe about just the most common things. We don't have to cover everything, but what would be something that you find yourself often correcting or updating or educating patients on around pregnancy, delivery, those sorts of things?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the most important things is just knowing that you need to be flexible. Yeah, I really think that pregnancy and the birth process is like a prequel to parenthood. Like, you know, once you have a kid, you have all these plans. Oh, I'm going to go on vacation. I'm going to work this weekend. Then your kid is sick. And I think birth is the same way. If you have a very rigid birth plan without flexibility, I think you're setting yourself up for disappointment, right? So, you know, a lot of people, like, you won't know exactly what contractions feel like. And eventually they're going to be every 2 minutes, like the worst period cramps for 2 minutes, every 2 minutes for at least 10 hours, because you need contractions to actually squeeze the baby out. And so, you know, be open to the fact you might need an epidural rather than saying, this is something I definitely don't want. And the reason I say that is because, number one, you know, I also see a lot of patients, like, they may have wanted a home birth or with a midwife or even with an OB, and they were really adamant they didn't want an epidural, but then the pain was so much and they're so exhausted and they really needed an epidural and they feel guilt. Like, I don't want anyone to feel guilty that they changed their plans. And so I think it's really important to be open to the fact that maybe if you want help, you can have it through an epidural. And the fact is, in Canada, you know, over 60 to 70% of women do have an epidural, even though if you're on Facebook, it seems like everybody did it without an epidural and they're all super amazing. But, you know, I think that's the thing, is like having realistic expectations and being open to change is really important. And the fact that, too, you know, 1/3 of pregnant people in the US and Canada have C-sections. And so, you know, we have this plan B, which is life-saving for moms and babies, you know, and hopefully you have the birth that you want. But I think it's really important that you know, you have these understandings that these can happen so that later, if they do happen, there's not this big disappointment in yourself or your team that it went a different way.
I wholeheartedly agree. And I'm so glad that's what you brought up, because that's, you know, I joke, and this is not to, you know, I know that birth trauma is absolutely real, and I don't want to trigger anybody when I say this, but like, I used to joke when I was pregnant with my twins, because there was just so many options for how my delivery could have gone, right? Like, one of my babies was breech. And so I'm like, well, I could go into labor naturally. I could have been induced. I could have ended up having a section. I could have delivered one baby and then needed like a version and then to go to right. Like, there was just a lot of varieties, as you would know. Yes. And so as a doctor who had seen deliveries, and, you know, I said, you know what my birth plan is? That just none of us die. Like, we just all get out alive, literally, right? And maybe that's extreme for a lot of people, but I was like, I'm not going to hold myself to some rules or expectations about a process I've never experienced and has a lot of variety of ways it could go, right? And that helped me. That might not be supportive or helpful for other people, but I totally agree. I often say, like, it's much easier to make decisions for the birthing you when you're sitting not in birth, like when you're not absolutely, in labor,
yeah. Oh, right? Yeah. Like, I often equate it to a wedding, right? I mean, we all know weddings won't go exactly as planned, right? And, you know, we hear about bridezillas and all that, but, you know, it's the same. I think we can always prepare and have the right information. And that's the important point, is also get the right information. But also know, like, I call it a birthing roadmap, because there could be little forks, right? Little forks in the road and options. And nowadays we have very patient-centered care, like through hospitals and the nurses and all the doctors, midwives, family doctors, like so many different options. And we're really there with that experience to help you and guide you and help you with the birth that people want. But I also really loved what you said about, like, not dying. I mean, you know, pregnancy is number one, might be the first time a lot of moms or a lot of women have even accessed healthcare. And number two, it's a dangerous situation. Like, I mean, right now with what's happening in the US, like, ectopic pregnancies are life-threatening, right? And then there's, you know, as moms get older too, there's more pregnancy-related conditions that can happen, like high blood pressure and preeclampsia. So, you know, I think it's important to realize sometimes things like inductions, for example, are even there for medical reasons and health reasons to help people have a healthy birth.
I agree completely. And it is dangerous, you know, it can be dangerous. And we're not saying that to scare anyone, but just like, as you know, for yourself, especially, who would see the highest risk of deliveries, are those like the most common deliveries? Certainly not. Right. And with nice, healthy, low risk pregnancies and deliveries, they can be very safe, but there are problems that things go awry. Like, you know, in the community that I was delivering babies in rural Alberta, like, we did not deliver first time moms there because it just, you know, you can't predict what's happening, and it wasn't safe. Like, if you had a successful birth before, okay, you were reasonable, but we had a really low threshold because we had no cesarean capability. And, you know, the closest was 30 minutes away. Right. Wow. So like, it's realizing that, yes, our bodies know what they're supposed to do. And I really talk a lot to my new moms when I'm seeing prenatal patients about, like, you know, your body knows what it's doing, and things can sometimes go wrong. Right. Like, and that's why, you know, years ago, before there was all this beautiful obstetrical capability, like, many women died in childbirth because it was a very dangerous thing, right? Yeah. So although we sometimes get this information, or we hear kind of even on social media about, like, you know, that you can labor at home and, you know, you can totally have a home birth. For some people, that's 100% true. But just being really well aware of, if you're not that person, that it can be very dangerous. And knowing that, and just knowing, like, I love the guidepost, or the roadmap that you referenced. It is very much your birthing plan is a roadmap, and allow yourself to change your mind when you're actually in the situation. I, like, labor pains are incredibly uncomfortable. I could hardly even speak, right? It was like so intense. And I would have never wanted to make a decision for myself when I wasn't in that pain about how I was allowed to handle that pain while I'm in it.
I mean, I really think it's so cruel and unfair that, you know, you have this 24 hours of pain and exhaustion, and then you've got this 2-3 weeks, you know, and years after sleep deprivation. Like, it's really difficult. And And so, you know, I think people, you know, for people to understand that is really important. And yeah, I mean, I love the epidural for myself as a separate thing, but I see that as an opportunity for so many parents to be able to sleep and then have the energy to push, you know, and progress in their labor. So,
It was a lifesaver for me. I always say to people, I'm like, guess what? You don't get a different baby in the end. If you go through more pain, like there's no reward. It's not like a pain Olympics where you get a gold medal or like a better, cuter baby. Like, you know, you're getting the same baby and the baby's going to be amazing either way. But like, do we need to, when we live in this beautiful modern era of epidural, do we necessarily need to experience this pain if we don't want to? Right. But it's a very personal decision.
Exactly. And all the power to those that do it without, like, it's really amazing. And, you know, having that support to do that, or, you know, and having the strength and ability to do that, because some people may feel less pain. But, you know, the fact that you raised even about rural Alberta not having the same resources, like, this is a Canadian issue too for a lot of people in rural areas. It's not just in third world countries. Like, some places may not have access to either surgical delivery or even for epidurals. So you know it's great that we have these resources, and so the ability to access them is great. And you know, I often say too, like, a lot of people, like, nobody would really pick to have surgery without anesthesia. So you know, it's great to know that this is available, you know, if you need. And so just be open. And not closed to the idea.
I agree. Just have an open mind about the process, especially if you've never experienced it before, right? And I think that's really, really valuable. So I love this insight, these insights. I often ask, I mean, we could talk forever. That's what we mentioned earlier. Like, I could easily chat with you for probably like hours. But I don't think that's very helpful for listeners. So I don't know if I prepped you on this, so forgive me, but I usually ask at the end of every episode, I ask two questions of all my guests. And one of them is, what does being brave mean to you? And then the second kind of part is, what has being brave done for you? And so I'm curious as to your answers, and you can take any of the time you need to kind of come up with them, unless you have something right on hand.
Well, I think being brave really is not conforming. And, you know, I've never wanted to fall into peer pressure, even as a teenager, and it's hard, right? But I think it's really important that sometimes you take a little bit of a different road, because you have to find out what's important for you, and stepping out of your comfort zone, you know? So even doing the not predictable thing or the stereotypical thing, you know, me as an Asian female, like, you know, number one, I look young, you know, I'm expected to be demure, like all of these things. And so, you know, I think I made a conscious effort in my late teens to say, I don't want to be that person. And I'm going to continue to push myself to do different things, right? Actually, when my kid was 3 and a half and I felt more normal, I actually took a stand-up comedy class. And I loved it.
Oh my God, I love that.
I love being funny. I would love to be paid for being funny. And I love making people happy. And so that was great for me. And I guess that's part of being brave. But even stepping out to work with the team at Cobalt, like, that is a new language for me in business. Working with a completely different team, and seeing how corporation works, like, it's just wonderful to have these new experiences and be open to opportunities. I think that's what being brave is.
And it sounds like being brave has given you so much joy and so much opportunity, which is amazing, right? It brings us on new paths when we step outside of our comfort zone, when we step outside of what would be like what we should do. All of a sudden you have this beautiful rainbow life of like all this cool stuff that you get to do. And, you know, we kind of jived about that when we first spoke to about entrepreneurship and how we get to go try new things and experience new things. And I think that's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, otherwise I may not have met you.
Absolutely. Right. And that's what I love about entrepreneurship too. And is that you get to meet so many cool people. So Dr. Kirkham, if anybody wanted to kind of learn more about you, you know, I know learn more about COBL, where would be a good place for them to go? And this will all be in the show notes, all of the website and stuff, but I'll hand it to you to let everybody know, like, where are you most active? If you're on social media, where could they follow, learn more about you and connect if they are interested?
Thanks, Dr. Crew. Well, during the pandemic, I wasn't able to give out handouts because we were doing a lot of telephone calls too. So I actually made my own website. It's dr, like Dr. Yolanda Kirkham.ca. And I have a lot of educational information that I've curated, including reliable resources. You know, I always recommend for people looking up information to actually go first to, for example, Society of Obstetrician Gynecologists and associations and universities, or if you're looking for nutritional information, like the Dietitians of Canada, like head first to those type of websites. And those links are on my website, whether it's about gynecological issues. I also do pediatric adolescent gynecology. So I cover different topics like painful periods, heavy periods, vulva itch and sex pain. And then I also have a lot of obstetrical information, whether it's pregnancy, birth, or starting solids, you know, so all of that information is on my website. And COBL, you can reach at coblcares.com. In terms of social media, I am mostly on Twitter. I feel like I'm too Gen X to figure out Instagram very well. So that's where you can find me.
Amazing. I'm so excited. And like I said, those will all be included in our show notes, as well as the link to COBL. And Yolanda, this is so fun. I am so grateful for having you on the Braver podcast. I think this will be a very insightful and valuable episode for my audience. And I'm just very grateful for our connection and our new friendship.
Thanks. Me too, Carly. It's been great.
And yeah. And if you have enjoyed this episode, we would love it if you would share on social media. You can tag me and Dr. Kirkham, or share it with somebody, maybe an expectant mom that you know, so that they can understand about the resources and hear from us. And as always, reach out to me on social media if you have questions. And thanks for listening to the Braver podcast. We will catch you next time.